If you lost a hat, God's Army, it's up here for you. My granddaughter thought it was mine, but it is not mine. So if this belongs to somebody, it sure is yours. You can certainly come and claim it. You want to hang on to that for them? Thank you. How y'all doing?
Good.
How y'all really doing? Very interesting. Hey, Brandon, our son's children, our grandbabies, that was one of the first songs they learned, Today is the Day. And they used to sing that song in the back of the car as grandma drove them to church. And they'd sing and praise God, clapping their hands. I just love that song because it taught them about Jesus. And whenever I hear it, it's pretty cool. Amen. Tonight I have the awesome responsibility of sharing on the second night with you in what we've been talking about, drawing closer to God. When God feels distant, how do we draw close to Him? Tonight I've chosen to talk to you about how to draw closer to God through unanswered prayers. I have faced with so many people, and people have come into my life, have shared with me that one of the stanks, one of the angst in their lives is prayers that go unanswered. Something has happened that they have talked to God about, labored before God, placed before the good Lord, and for whatever reason, their prayer never got answered. Mothers praying for children to come home, parents praying for children to be found, folks praying for folks who die and never make it, and having these unanswered prayers cause a stink in their lives. I'm going to mess you up right up front, and I apologize for doing so. But then again, it's just what it is. I thought it would be, as we talked about this, necessary to talk about unanswered prayer. And I'm going to preach about that. But I want to tell you right up front, there's no prayer that goes unanswered. Lord, have mercy. Every prayer gets answered. Sometimes we don't like the answer we get. I wished I had a witness in here somewhere. This is not in your notes. It won't appear on the screen if you want to write somewhere on a separate piece of paper or somewhere on the notes that you have. I want to talk about the three ways, and then I want to jump into the lesson because I think it's something God will help us with. I want to talk about the three ways that God answers prayer. And number one is with an affirmative yes. God answers prayers with yes. This is indicative of what took place in the book of Joshua, chapter number 10, verse number 12, when Joshua and the Israelites were battling the Amorites, and the sun was going down, and should the sun go down, the Amorites would be able to escape and to live and to fight another day. Joshua does something amazing. He prays a crazy prayer. He didn't just pray for something or some small thing or something that he knew God could handle or maybe would even be in his favor, but he asked for the impossible. He said, God, I need you to stop the sun. If the sun goes down, we lose this battle. And the Bible says that God answered his prayer and he paused the sun for about a day, for about a 24-hour period. The Bible goes on to say there has never been a day like that before and there'll never be another day like it since. It's in the Bible. He answered. He had enough nerve to pray a crazy prayer, which challenges me not to pray about some things. And when I pray about symptoms of stuff and not really getting to the root of the problem, he could have asked God, help us win the battle. He could have asked God, well, hey, don't let them get away. He didn't ask for none of that. He just said, stop the sun, the nerve of him. Amen, by myself. And God answered his prayer. There's also, on the other hand, God can say no. And this is where we find ourselves in trouble and stink because we don't want to accept a no from God. He can say yes and he can say no. Such is the case in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, verses 15 through 23. David had a son out of wedlock, and it had been told to him that the son would not live and that he was going to die. David anyway turned his face toward God, fasted and prayed, and asked God not to allow his son to die. For 7 days he sought the Lord, and on that seventh day his son passed away. God told David no. Lord, have mercy. David's not the only one that has been told no. There's some of us in this room that have prayed prayers, and for whatever reason, God said no. But then there's a third answer that God gives in prayer. He does not only just say yes, and he does not only just say no, but there comes a time when God will say, wait, not now. I hear you, but today is not the day. I need you to hang in there. I need you to hang on. I need you to be still. I need you to trust me. Yeah, such is the case in the book of Exodus, when there arose a king in chapter number 1, verse number 7, who knew not Joseph. And when he arose, he decided that Egypt, Israel, living in Egypt, had now grown too large, and we need to oppress them, for if we don't oppress them, they will take over. For 400 years, Israel cried to God, deliver us. And the Bible says in chapter number 3, verse number 7, I have heard the cries of my people, and now I shall deliver them. Don't ask me why it took that long. God said, wait. There's some things we're just not going to understand. Some things we're just not going to comprehend, but they do take place. But in all of that, it is not God's idea or his desire to move us away from him. It is his good pleasure to draw us to him. And so we've got to try to figure out, you and I, me and you, us here today, we've got to try to figure out how do we come closer to God when the prayer being answered is not the way we want it answered? The only way for me to understand this is to really look into the scriptures and try to figure out what the Bible says about this. And that lands me in the book of James, as James writes the church in the first century to tell them about their own position when they pray. And here's the words that he says in James chapter number 4, verses 1 through 3. They'll appear on the screen, and they're in your notes if you pick them up as you came in. It says, what is causing the quarrels and the fights amongst you? Don't they come from within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme to kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you cannot get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong and you want only what will give you pleasure. This is a strong indictment against the church, because James does not write this to people outside of the church. He writes this to church folks, churchgoers, people who have landed in the first century church. And he wants to address the heart of their matter. And the first thing that he says here, which is a fill-in for you, he says, some prayers are not answered because our motives are wrong. Our motives are wrong. Our motives are wrong. The real reason behind you praying the prayer is only for selfish gain. Lord have mercy, we're going to shut down the church right now and let's go home, because most of the time, that's exactly where we sit. We are motivated by our own selfish gain. We won't admit it, we won't say it, but really is. It'll make matters easier for me. It'll make life better. Things will they'll turn out just the way I want them to be. So God, would you please answer this prayer? James says we've got to move away from motives that only work for us. We've got to move away from things that only make life better for us. He says, we got to check, really, you got to check your motives. Matter of fact, that's your second feeling. Check it. Why are you praying what you pray? Why are you asking for what you ask for? What's the real motivation behind what you're doing? I'm not going to throw any stones. I'm going to deal with me tonight because I need some help. I want to make sure that my heart's right. And one of the things that really comes to mind for me, is it possible that we have a heart problem? Is it possible that in the church, that in the Christian community, we have a heart issue? I heard somebody had the nerve to say yes. I heard it way over here. Yeah, it is. And that's one of the things that sometimes I don't want to admit. And nor do you, because it is our job sometimes what we believe to present to this world that we've got it together. And in reality, God is yet, well, I'm not going to speak for you all. God is yet still working on me. He's still dealing with Sherwood. He's still trying to make some good out of this right here. You know, all this, you understand, right? He's trying to make some good out of it. Here's what the Bible says. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and is desperately wicked. And is desperately, who can really know it? Who really knows the human heart? I can't speak for you all. I can only testify about myself. And I want to share something with you I'm not proud of, but it shows and it proves to me how much I need help. How much I need, and so I'm gonna let y'all into my world and don't y'all beat me up with this later. Just when you see me say, praying for you. God, just praying for you. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, we entered a recession, 2008, and many people didn't know we were in a recession until September 27th, when the stock market fell, and all of the paper goods collapsed, and before you knew it, people were losing their jobs, their homes, their money, and their investments. This did not stay away from our church. We were not immune to it. It hit South Sacramento very, very difficult. And we have cards in our bulletins where people can request prayer or they can tell about decisions. And there was a season in our lives prior or post 2008, the beginning of 2009, where we were getting more prayer requests than we were decisions for the Lord. There were people in our congregation whose 401ks were gone and they didn't have retirement, and people who were losing their homes by the dozens. There were even families that were breaking up because the husband no longer had any income because he was in real estate. And real estate went upside down, inside out. Then it affected other jobs in our community where folks couldn't even buy a job, couldn't get a job, couldn't buy a vow. I mean, they couldn't get anything. And it became very, very tough for the folks in our community. And I would get these cards. They'd pass my desk, and it would be my custom along with the prayer team to pray for these cards. And on this one occasion, I had decided that I was going to lift some folks up in prayer. Some I knew by name and others I didn't, but there were some in our congregation that I knew personally. And on this particular day, I had decided that while I ran my errands, I was going to pray for the folks in my church. I was going to ask God to help them and to see them through. I was going to ask God to fix their situation, to give them the income that was necessary and to help them through such a trying time. And while I was out making my errands, I was praying as I drove. I was praying and talking to God. I don't know if you multitask, but I do that. I'm able. The Bible says that we need to develop a praying spirit, so it is possible to pray and drive at the same time. While I was praying and driving, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. I'm just trying to tell you where I am. I know you got issues too, but I have them also. While I was praying and driving, a Brinks truck passed me. And as the truck passed me, I kind of went into a daze, and I came up with a plan to get the money out of the truck and share it with the people in our congregation. I just want you to know it was a good plan too. And when I came to myself, God said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to help the folks in my congregation." He said, "I don't need your help." But that was my answer to the situation. True story. Several months later, I was teaching in a men's conference in Lodi, California. 1,200 men had gathered, and I shared the story about the Brinks truck. And this is the truth. I'm not joking. This is a true story. A detective from the Elk Grove Police Department was sitting in the audience, and he touched his partner, and he says, "I got my suspect." A couple of months later, we were sharing with a family at our church, and the detective landed at our church, and he told me the story about how he was sitting in the Elk Grove, and I look at him, and I froze. I've never ripped off a Brinks truck. I promise I have not. He says, "I know you were joking. I know you were, you know, telling an illustration, what have you. I just wanted you to know I had a little fun with it. I told my partner I had my suspect." I've confessed this to my wife. I've confessed this to the church. I want you to know I have never robbed a Brinks truck. But I have thought about it. And I'm born again. And I love God. And I have bad thoughts. And those thoughts come from my heart. I got a heart issue that in the middle of me praying and asking God for help, I've gone to my old ways. I'm a hood rat from South Sac. And I done figured out how to scheme and devise. Who knows the heart of human people? Is it possible that even in the church, God is trying to heal our heart? Is it possible that maybe through what you would call unanswered prayers, God is trying to heal your heart? Believe it because of Ezekiel chapter number 11, verse number 19, that God really is at work healing our heart. "And I will give them the singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart." You may not agree with me tonight. You may not want to own this. You may not want to get there. But I've come to find out, in my 40 years of living with God, I've been saved since I was 6, baptized at 7. In my 30 years of preaching and my 52 years, almost 53 years living on this earth, that God uses every situation to show to us who we are and to try and transform us into someone new. And he does it through situations that many times request that you should pray so that he could show you who you really are. I honestly believe that some prayers are actually given a no or a wait because God is trying to give us singleness of mind. He's trying to give us a focus on Him, that if this never turns out, that if this never changes, will you continue to serve God? Will you continue to pursue God? Will you continue to love God? I've watched too many people, when their prayers were no or wait, gave up on God, moved from the front row to the back row, stopped singing the songs of Zion, stopped going to the house of the Lord, laid their Bible down, no longer studied the scripture, no longer gave God praise. I honestly believe that there are some answers that come from God so that He can prove to you and to the devil that there are some people that are going to worship God no matter what happens in their life. No matter what goes on, they will trust in the Lord. If he never gets healed, I'm going to trust God. If she never comes home, I'm going to trust God. If I never get the promotion, I'm going to trust God. If I never get a job, I'm going to trust God. I got singleness of mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God Almighty, God Almighty, I think God is at work trying to heal our heart, because it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It is that which comes out, because that which comes out comes from our heart. God's trying to heal my heart. God's trying to change me, transform me into someone I've never been. And that's why it's so difficult. I've never seen this before. I've never lived this before. I'm so accustomed to the old way. God's trying to teach me something I know nothing about. Amen by myself. Yeah. Yeah, because if I'd have had it my way, I'd have got a couple of boys from the hood and we'd have knocked off the Brinks truck. Everybody in our church would be good and y'all'd be sitting here listening to somebody else tonight, because I'd be in the slammer somewhere. Can I get a witness in here somewhere? Yeah. So that our hearts will match his will. He's not just trying to heal our hearts and take us through tough stuff, but God wants our hearts, my heart, your heart. He wants it to match his will. He wants our hearts to match his will. The Bible is very clear on this in Psalms 37 and 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, before you move from Lutheran to Pentecostal, because that sounded real good right there. What does he mean, move from Lutheran to Pentecostal? Well, in the Pentecostal church, when you hear something that's really good, you might even get up and dance, cut a little jig, do the Watusi or something like that. And when I said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, I felt in my spirit, some of y'all don't even know nothing about, got a little quickening. That felt good. I want that. But before you get excited about it, I need you to hear this. It is not God giving you what you want. It is God conforming you to what he wants. God is shaping us and conforming us through prayers that are answered, so that we only desire the things that he desires. And sometimes it's frightening, even embarrassing, that I don't always desire what God desires. That I would actually want something different than God wants for my life. That I would actually put all of my stake and my claim into that which he has not planned for me. I have to warn our church sometimes and caution them that when we sing worship songs, we should not just be singing them to be singing them, because the tune is good and the rhythm is hot, and we don't pay attention to the words we say. Because it's the words that we say that should penetrate our heart and become a living testimony to what we do. And there is a new song. Well, it's new to me. It's new to our church. It's about 2 years old in our church running now, but it's probably been out for several years, called I Give Myself Away. I give myself away so that you can use me. And every time we go to sing that song, I become very, very emotional. I'm confessing again, because there's a part of me that does not want to give myself away. That there's a part of me that thinks I know what's best for me. That there's a part of me that says, God, I don't know that you really know what's best for me. So I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to keep this right here. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't going to confess it. I am. And then it comes to that second verse where it says, take my heart. Take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, I place them in your hand. I want my will to match your will. And if my dreams and my plans don't work for you, I don't want you to change what you had in mind. I want you to change me. And sometimes the way God transforms us is through prayer. Through prayer that is answered. But that sometimes we've been confessing that, hey, I've been praying about this, and for whatever reason, God has not answered me. What you're really saying is that I don't like his answer. Amen. Go ahead now. And so tonight, as I try to put a bow on this, I want to try to get you to see what God is showing me in the spirit that I want to have manifest in my life, that I want to have manifest in how I live. Because I really do see God drawing me closer to him and not pushing me away. But oftentimes, I feel the distance because I don't like his answer. I don't like what he's decided for me. I don't like that he thinks he knows what's best for me. Y'all ain't saying nothing because, you know, you afraid to say these kind of things. But I just puts it all out there. I say the stuff y'all think, but say, ooh, can't have that thought. Yeah, you can. God's got broad shoulders. He can handle it. He really can handle it. And sometimes we just need to be authentic with him, because that's when he says, I hear you. Come close, my child. Thank you for not pretending. Thank you for not faking the funk, trying to make me and others believe everything's okay. It's good being a Christian and being real. Lord, have mercy. So let me see if I can put a bow on this and send you on your way, because they got, what is it, s'mores? Is that what you said? Don't want the preaching to hold up the s'mores, Lord. Rev, you sure going along. They got s'mores tonight. Could you like speed it up, you know? Let me stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway. So when God checks our motives and our motives become right, and our hearts become broken, and we really want to be conformed to his will, then God draws us closer through delay. Through delay. Through wait. This is a struggle for me. This is really a struggle for me. I'm not joking about this. I was raised in the Pentecostal church. We believe in miracles. We believe in stuff happening. We believe in it flipping the script and things happening in a moment's notice, the miraculous. We see God do it in the Bible, and we expect that he will do it even in the 21st century, and he has the power to do it. He can still make it happen. But when he does not mean he's not at work, and does not mean that he does not care. Amen. And sometimes God will delay you and I to draw us closer to him. Because if he always answers what we want when we ask, we don't become mature. We don't become strong. We become selfish brats. And so God will delay us before we get an answer. Here's what the unknown author of Hebrews says. He says, check this out. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he has promised. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayer, or he gives us this wait, and we don't want to hear wait, so we try to mimic it and say that he hasn't answered me, he hasn't told me. What he really said was wait. God is saying, I need to see you patiently endure. I need to see you go through something now. I need to see you hang in there. Anybody can worship God when all the ducks are in a row and everything is like it's supposed to be. But can you continue to serve God when he's put you on hold? I heard you. Hang on. I'm gonna see what they're gonna do. I'm gonna see if they're in it for just what they get out of it. Are they really in it because they love me? And what's so amazing about this? Sometimes we fail to see in the spiritual realm what's really going on. There are times when God will answer our prayer when we first pray. But the answer got held up because there's a demon in this land who tries to stop the progress of believers. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be mystical and magical. It's in Daniel chapter number 7. The angel of the Lord came to Daniel and said, God heard you when you first prayed. 21 days ago, God heard you. I've been held up fighting with the demon, the king of Persia. But God loves you so much that he answered you the first day you prayed. He just allowed the enemy to hold it up, to see if you would hang in there, to see if you were real, to see if you're serving God for the goods or for who he is. I know something about delay. Been praying about a situation for months. And for whatever reason, God has delayed. And it has been the fight of my life to remain positive, to remain spiritual and upbeat. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that too many days I've failed. Too many days it felt like it was too much for me. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, fight on. Fight on. Help is on the way. God Almighty. And God is not trying to push me away. He's trying to draw me closer. He's trying to draw me closer to him by simply delaying the answer that I want. Trust me, Sherwood. That's all I hear God say. I've never left you, and I never will forsake you. Trust me. But then, there's this other thing that God will do. Not only does God try to draw us closer through delay, but God draws you closer when the answer is no. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to try with all my heart to just talk about this and not become emotional, but I think I failed already, so. The Bible teaches something that is simply awesome and out of this world, but sometimes we don't want to receive it. Through the Apostle Paul, he gives us a little insight to his life, but does not specifically tell us the struggle that he has. This could be arranged for you all because many of you in this room and sitting in the pavilion, you have struggles that none of us know anything about. We don't know what your struggle is. We just know and sometimes assume that you have one. And Paul says, for the benefit of those here who are really pursuing God and want to know God, I want to tell you when God told me no. Here's what he says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, he said, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said to me, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is why I take pleasure in my weakness and in my insults and my hardships, my persecutions and my troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak is when I'm strong. Paul was a gifted man. Paul had abilities that were far beyond some of us as humans. He talks about being able to speak 7 languages fluently. He talks about being caught up in spiritual visions on the 3rd day or the 7th day, which is the holy day. God giving him these wonderful insights and then using him in ways other people have not been used. Beaten 3 times with 39 stripes and surviving each one of them. Being snake bitten, shipwrecked, and yet God took care of him. In other words, he had been through sickness, disaster, and also muggings, and God still let him live. In other words, I'm a bad dude. But to keep me, wow, thank you, Jesus, to keep me from boasting about how wonderful I am, God allowed the enemy to put something inside of me that literally bothers me, torments me, kicks my behind. And because I know God and I know he's able, I've gone to him 3 times and said, God, I need you to fix this. I need you to take this away. And every time God says, no, not gonna do it. My grace is all you need. But God, you don't understand. I could do so much more for you if you took this away. If you just answered this one prayer, I could do more. Paul, the answer is no. I'm not going to do it. I want you to trust me. I was raised in a Christian home. Mom and dad came to follow Jesus. They weren't perfect. They had issues. Dad was a staff sergeant. Mom was a registered nurse. But they fell in love with each other and fell in love with Jesus. And so they raised us in the Black Pentecostal church with all the rules and the regulations. when my four siblings and I became adults, we were all saved and we fell in love with Jesus and we all worked in the church. Since I've become an adult, my mom and dad both have gone home to be with the Lord, and three of my four siblings have also gone home to be with the Lord. Each time one of my siblings would fall sick, we would pray and ask God to heal them. And for some reason, God wouldn't do it. The last being my younger brother, Stevie, who fell sick while I was in Atlanta. Didn't know he was sick, but something in my spirit said, rush home. I was scheduled to fly the next day, but without calling home, I ran to the airport and got on a plane and came home the same day. When Charlene picked me up at the airport, she had to inform me that my younger brother had had a stroke and was in the hospital. We went immediately from the airport to the hospital. I saw him on Monday night. He tried to say some things to me, but his speech was blurred. On Tuesday, I saw him, but he had become unconscious and he was pointing toward heaven. Thursday, they told me he had no more brain waves and he went home to be with the Lord. We prayed. We talked to God. We asked God to heal him, and he didn't. He said, no. He says, all you need is my grace. Maybe you don't get it. Stevie was my dog. He was my boy. He was my ace boom coon. His thing in life was, preacher, what do you need? And if I said I had a need, my younger brother took care of it. He watched out for me. He loved me with all of his heart. He was the last of my siblings, other than my sister, that was left before my mom passed. And on this night, God says, I'm all you need. What do you do when God tells you no? Do you rush away or do you draw closer? Too many people in Christian America have moved away from God when he says no. What if he doesn't heal your child? What if your child doesn't get off of drugs? What if your wife, what if your husband does not come home? What happens if the one you love, mom or dad, you lose them? What do you do? Do you push away or do you draw closer? God says that even when I say no, come closer. Come closer. My grace is all you need. And I want to be a guy. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a husband. I want to be a dad. I want to be a papa, a grandpa that gets closer to God when he tells me no. I don't want to get further away. I want to figure out how to navigate life in his arms and in his bosom rather than at arm's length. Even when he has the nerve, the audacity to tell me no. God help me. Finally, Abraham gives us the best example of this, because he lets us know that delays are actually created to build your confidence in God. They are not set up to cause you pain, tribulation, or to push you away. Delays are actually set up so that you'll have more confidence in God than you've ever had. Here's what Abraham says. Romans talks about him when Paul authors this book. He says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Somebody say stronger. Stronger, and in this brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he had promised. God help me. And help this assembly, that when you speak something, that no matter how long it takes, that we never lose our confidence in you. Draw us closer. Finally, what unanswered prayer is drawing you closer to God? Now, if we really have looked at this and watched it correctly, and we really believe this, you'll have the nerve right now to scratch through the word unanswered and say, what answered prayer is drawing me closer to God? Because there really is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Let's pray. God, help us to accept your answer. When it's wait, when it's no, and absolutely, God, when it's yes. We want to be like you. We want our hearts to absorb your will. So God, through the prayers that we have prayed, through the thoughts that we have thought, would you, by your Spirit, conform us to your will? There are days, nights, sometimes even weeks, God, that we go scratching, kicking, and screaming. But God, we really want to be closer to you. So draw us closer. As you tell us yes, as you tell us no, and even as you tell us to wait. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.